that he has done up. I had an opportunity to review before I walked in. I don't know if the rest of council has, but let me ask Andy to give us a high-level overview and take it from there.
Richard.
Just as a bit of background.
Can you make a copy of that?
Yeah.
Does anybody have this document?
Yep.
As a bit of background, under our charter, the city has done what he's able to tax the hotel, so-called bed tax, 5% of their revenues. And of the 5%, 3% of those funds go into our general fund, 2% of them go into a fund that will be used to establish a city B, a convention vestibule. And the convention vestibule has the ability to contract with a private nonprofit organization, or it can set up an authority to manage those funds for the interest of the hospitality industry. Currently in Dunwoody, there are 5 hotels located within the city limits. 2 of them are Intercontinental Group hotels. They're being Crown Plaza and the Safety Suites. There's a Marriott Hotel, an Embassy Suites Hotel, and a W Hotel. All these are quality hotels. Last year, their revenues, taxable revenues, were about $46 million. This year, year-to-date, we're down somewhere between 17 and 20%, I'm told. And our revenues that have been coming in for 2% have been about $60,000 per month. So we forecast this year we'll have somewhere around $720,000 in revenue to fund the CDB. Before Dunwoody became a city, the hotels were using the Cab County CBB for their leads. And Cab County is famous for producing the union business, and they're famous for producing weddings. Those are the 2 things that they're good at and they've really been recognized for. Primarily, they've been going after this business because of the resources that they have in Cab County, that is in Stone Mountain. That's a big draw for reunions and weddings. As I mentioned, there are 2 ways to organize. One would be as an authority, one being as a 501c6 organization, which would be a nonprofit organization. The difference in these would be that the authority would operate under the auspices of the city council, where we would form a board where the 501c6 would be an independently contracted organizations, and we'd be handing the money over to them under the guidance that they would use it for certain purposes. The authority, as one of our earlier speakers talked about, does have the ability to do other things other than just run the CBB. Through an authority, you can raise money. It's certainly acknowledged that we have an authority in place now that we formed when we started the lease agreement. But in my view, there are some benefits to having authority as part of the CBB, because there are things to do with industry development. I think that an authority could have some benefit to anyone ever build a facility of any kind. The authority could be used to raise money to build that facility if we ever saw that need. What I recommend in this white paper is that we form an authority so that we'd have more oversight over our funds that we collect. This fund could increase to larger amounts than $720,000, and that's a lot of money. We want to make sure it's used properly. And looking at cities, I've interviewed a number of cities throughout the state and outside the state, as a matter of fact, and both of these are being used. Sandy Springs uses a 501c6, but in Sandy Springs' case, they have a 5-man board, and 2 of those board members are members of the council, the mayor and a council person sitting on the board. 2 of the 5 members have a presence on the boards for Sandy Springs. We don't have that luxury because our charter does not allow us to be on the board of this type. So we don't have the ability to do that. So I think we need oversight, and I recommend that we have that oversight to make sure that the funds are protected. It's not to run the thing, the boards have to run it, but What I recommend is we form a 9-member board. That's a bigger board than we have here, but I think it'll give a chance for everybody to have a seat at the table. Three of these people would be from the hotel industry. One member would be from PCID. One member from the restaurant association in Dunwoody. And one member would be named by the mayor from the business community. And this would be a person of his choice from the business community. And then one member would be named from each of the three districts. That gives you a total of 9. And what this does is really line up with our mission statement that we need to represent our constituents, those being residents of the community, and also the business community and their interests. I think our CBB should be one that collaborates with all the resources of the community. Those resources that I've outlined in the white paper include the DHA, the Dunwoody Preservation Trust, the Women's Club, all these resources that could in fact end up being responsible for venues. The DHA is responsible for the biggest parade in Georgia. That's an opportunity for us to promote. The Dunwoody Preservation Trust sponsors an auction that has 30,000 people coming into to the affair. Those are also things that could be promoted and would benefit the hotel industry. And there are many other things that we could think of. More recently, there's going to be a soapbox derby that's going to be conducted at the Baptist Church. And this is going to be an event that I think will grow into a major attraction for tourism to the community. The CBB would collaborate with all these functions, including the newly formed Chamber of Commerce. All these things would be included into that. If you look at just to kind of give you some other background, the Cap County last year produced 42,000 leads for the 5 hotels. And out of those 42,000 leads, they, in fact, were able to successfully attract 7,500 visitors out of 42,000 leads. And we have a transition issue that I think we need to address, and that's what some of the earlier speakers talked about, and that is the need to have some relationship as we form the CBB that will help the hotelers attract visitors to their respective hotels. And what I propose to do is that we go to the DCBB, and we have a meeting scheduled for Thursday of this week to do exactly that, and propose to them some type of relationship where we would pay them on a fee for lead generated. And that's all they do. They generate a lead and we set up the hotels to actually attract those people to their respective hotels. And we've done a good job, I think, of that because we're fortunate in Dunwoody to have the better hotels in the community. We're located in easy proximity to downtown Atlanta, to Lake Lanier, to the amusement parks of Six Flags, to Stone Mountain. All these things are easy access either by rail or by car from the center. I think there's an opportunity also to create some venues, which would be the responsibility of the CBB. And one of the things that was brought to Robert's and my attention when we visited with him, David Purcell, who was with Georgia Power and involved with industry development, he suggested maybe we should go to Circus Soleil and see if they would move their venue up to Perimeter Center. That being another venue that we wouldn't have to build anything, but it would attract a lot of people into the hotels here. And I think that's an excellent idea. If you look at what we have to offer here, it's close proximity to a lot of people, more than the Atlantic Station is where it's currently held. And I think we'd have a pretty good story to tell there. We've identified the mission statement of the Dunwoody CBB. It suggests the mission statement is that the CBB is professionally and enthusiastically promote market and sell the city of Dunwoody as a destination for meetings, conventions, and individual travelers, fostering economic development and benefiting and supporting members and stakeholders. In addition, it is the Dunwoody CBB's goal to show leadership and be regarded as a quality organization of experts and advocates of its members, collaborating with local, county, and state organizations, government officials, in an effort to follow these goals. And I've included in there some suggested backgrounds, experience background, it's what the job description would be and what the experience of those individuals that we recruit, the board recruit, we look at when they're recruiting the executive director for this facility. There are challenges, but I think in short, I think that by forming the authority, putting a board together, a Class A board, and I mean a board that really brings things to the table. We talked about a professional board being involved on the overlay board. I think it certainly fits here that we have a professional board, people who understand marketing, people who understand the industry. Obviously, the hotel industry understands the industry a lot better than we ever will. We don't want to recreate that wheel. And they could bring their needs to this board and have the influence to three of the 9 members being from them. But I think the makeup of that board and having it as an authority would give us flexibility both financially as well as operationally. And if the board would actually sit for a period of about 3 years, and they could be renominated. Obviously, we only have 4 hotels groups being represented. And if we have 3 members from the hotel industry, some of those are going to have to serve concurrently in recurring terms. We have 2 of the hotel general managers here tonight. If you stand up, I'd like to recognize you. We have Brad and Craig. Craig is with the Intercontinental Hotels Group, and Brad's with the MSC Suites, 2 of the fine hotels. We're pleased to have them. And with that, I'll open up the question.
I guess I just got a statement. I was down at the Capitol last Thursday pushing our legislation. I had a chance to encounter with Yvonne Williams. Are you guys going to include her in this meeting?
Yeah, we talked to Donna and Yvonne. As a matter of fact, Robert and I did this past week. They offered some assistance in terms of this interim process here. But after they found out, we were having some discussions with the DCPB, Cap County District. They backed away, and I think that was the right thing to do, because they really have to build some of the expertise, I think, that we're looking for. And really, I think what the guys are looking for from the hotel industry, and I encourage them to just, maybe out of order, but to speak up if this is not the case, to be able to continue to get lead generations here, and most of these leads are going to be for the year 2010, from what I understand.
I just want to express it. She said, it's definitely a big issue on the
PCID. Absolutely. PCID has got a seat at the table in this kind of recommendation.
Robert, let me jump to you here on this committee.
Yeah, let me make 3 comments. I think we're called upon really to make 2 decisions. One of them is what's the governing structure for the board? And 2 is how are board members selected? Once we do that, then I think the board gets to decide, what the qualifications are for an executive director, how they want to operate. And for me, the first question, how do we want to charter this thing, comes down to this question, which is, who is the customer? Some of these convention and visitor bureaus, clearly the customer is the hotels. And the money is spent to put heads and beds, right? It's marketing money. It's money spent to promote, whether it's business travelers or weekend leisure travelers, or it's, whatever else brings into the room. If the customer is the hotels, then it makes sense, I think, to do a 501c6 with the idea that you create an organization that's self-perpetuating. They have their own board. They have memberships. The members elect the board, much the way we ran Citizens for Dunwoody. Right, and we have an agreement with them that funds them. They are restricted by state law as to what they can do with the money, but we sort of set them adrift and we let them serve their customers. And their customers are running it, so there's never any conflict between the organization and the hotels as to how the money is spent, because they're all doing this as one big group. If, on the other hand, the customer is the city, and not the hotels, then it makes sense for us to create an authority, because we want them to serve us. And maybe they're serving the hotels as well, right? There's a commonality of interest here, but if we decide that we're the customer And we want to be able to say, you should support Lemonade Day, or you should help promote the Soapbox Derby, or whatever else it is, then we ought to come up with an authority, because we're going to take the position that that this money is ours, and we don't want to do anything illegal with it, but we want as much power or authority as we can as to how the money is spent. And I think that ultimately is the biggest choice that we're going to have to make. I also want to suggest, as we go through this process, our normal course of events for passing an ordinance doesn't require that we have a public hearing. You know, we have comments at the beginning of a meeting, we have comments at the end of a meeting, but the only time that we are required to have a public hearing is when we're doing a zoning change. I want to suggest that there are a lot of people in this community who feel very strongly about who the customer is and how we do this, and I'm going to suggest that we build into our process a public hearing so that we can hear from the chamber, we can hear from the hotels, we can hear from the restaurants, we can hear from the Dunwoody Preservation Trust and the Women's Club and any of these other groups that are interested. So my second comment is a process one. I think we ought to include a public hearing. And the third comment is this, we're going to sit down this week with the DeKalb Convention and Visitors Bureau. And I think they do have a role to play here as an interim provider of services. But we should go into that with the understanding that the cost of doing that is the 2% restricted funds. If we're going to do business with the DeKalb Convention and Visitors Bureau, for the period of time that they're providing the service, they're going to expect the revenue that's that 2% revenue. So I think the way that I would envision this working is that we've been on our own for about 3 months now. By the time we engage them, it'll be about 4 months. During those 4 months, we'll have collected about $300,000. That money is the seed money for us to create our own organization. Right? Well, that's to get us off the ground. And that for the period of time, whether it's 6 months or 9 months or 12 months that we're using the DeKalb CBB, we need to be prepared to give them the revenue that we're collecting, and they're going to provide the service in exchange for that. And I think that's probably, and I know that Danny's talked about, you know, pay for leads, right? We only pay you for the leads you provide. I don't think they're going to do that any more than they were willing to pay by the hour for police officers, right? I mean, I think their attitude's going to be, if you're in this service, you pay what you pay, and we provide the service. And I think we do have a chance to drive a little bit of a harder bargain. I think there's an opportunity for us to ask them to do a little more than what they've done in the past for our local hotels. But I think the expectation has to be that they're not going to want, you know, to get $50 for every lead or some pay-as-you-go kind of arrangement. So just we should go into it, I think, with an understanding that that's going to be their position. It'll be hard to get them, I think, off of that. So those are my three comments, and I'll turn it back over to you, Anne.
Okay, questions? Two more questions for these guys. Yes, Stan.
Do you envision this executive director position? I was read through the whole thing, and all of a sudden, I guess maybe I missed it, but all of a sudden on page 6, the executive director shall be responsible. I hadn't seen where he had been established, or he or she had been established that position prior to that, but I'm sure it must have been in there somewhere. But do you envision that, I guess, as a paid position?
Yes.
Okay, and this person would be answering to the 9-man board?
Exactly.
Okay. And just a comment on your statement, Robert, your first 2 points are very well taken. And I agree with the public hearing, by the way. The last point there about the entire funds to be distributed to the DeKalb County Visitors Bureau, I just wonder, you know, how well they will do for us versus the rest of the county. Where are their loyalties? Where do their loyalties lie? I have a little fear with that process of saying, well, you know, we'll turn over our funds to you. And I think also, Danny, you know, the leads, you can perpetuate leads, you know. You can call somebody and say, you know, he's a lead. And I don't know. I don't see either one of those as being... I think we need to go back to the drawing board and take a little look at that, how we would come up with maybe a little better process to distribute the funding or whatever that is.
But let me address the leads.
whenever they get a lead, they distribute that to all the hotels in the Gap County that are part of BCDP. It goes to all of them.
Yeah, it goes into a database. Right.
It goes to all of them. And to the extent that Embassy Suites or the Continental Hotels, Group Hotels, are able to win that business, it's up to them. They have to market to those people. And the lead is the most efficient way, paying for that lead is the most efficient way of making sure that you hold them to a pay-for-performance basis. And I disagree with Robert. They want the revenues, they want as much revenue as they can get from Dunwoody into the DCDB. If they could produce 42,000 leads for us, I'd be happy to pay them on an average of $60,000 per month. That's what they managed to get those 42,000 leads if it provided an efficient way of filling up their hotel rooms. I think for us to go in there with the sense that we're going to give them our budget and let them spend it as they wish, I'm totally against that. And I think we need to have them some way to measure their performance, and leads is the bottom line factor in doing that.
Can I call Craig and Brad?
Sure.
Could you guys come up, please? And I do not want to put you guys in a pickle. I understand
sure.
This is a...
We're used to being in a pickle.
In that case, I will put you in a pickle. I understand this is obviously business for you guys. I also understand that this whole discussion is big business. Overall, witnessing what I've witnessed, whether it's with the CAB or other entities, there's a lot of money at stake, not just that, what the intent of that money is, but where that money goes, how it's spent, and all the things in between. So, Danny, Robert, thank you for doing what you've been doing and continue to do so. I'm going to ask that, obviously, you meet with the CAB and negotiate as you would in any other manner, as we've been doing in the past with DeKalb County, but I don't want to put you guys in any type of spot that will either split this council. I know there's a lot of different opinions, and we're just digesting this, but I would ask you guys just your general thoughts. One, for maybe advice for Robert and Danny, and I think I saw an email. I'm not sure if you guys will be attending.
We are. We're going to. Are you going to on Thursday?
Yeah.
All three of them.
Okay, so I guess not necessarily right now, but work in conjunction on strategy.
I was going to defer to him, but one thing I would say to start out is that it's a little bit of a new wrinkle looking at the idea of trying to do the pay-per-lead, and I like the aspect of trying to have an extra measure of accountability. I do have a concern they may not be as focused with us, seeing it's a short-term proposition. But I'd like to really defer to Craig, because he has a lot of history with that group, and you want to share a few thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I think that you can't be half pregnant. I mean, that's my personal opinion. We either need to go with this group or not. My recommendation all along has been that working with the DeKalb CDB as a transition strategy is an insurance policy. That's what it is. And we need an insurance policy. I've said many times, if this were a few years ago when we had a very robust economy, it wouldn't be that big a deal. I probably would be watching 24-0 right now if that were the case. But it is important right now that every opportunity we have to seize the business we have. The comment was made by one of the commissioners regarding how the money's spent. There's 5%. I agree with Councilman Wittenstein that... the 2% is all that's on the table. And I think that we do need to let the CAB CBD work with that amount of money for whatever duration of time that we use them to generate leads for us. The fact of the matter is we talk a lot about off-peak business being family reunions and weddings, et cetera, but they also generate a lot of other leads for association-style business, which also falls on the weekends that we need to survive on. The three hotels in the Dunwoody market, specifically the Embassy, the Marriott, and the Crown Plaza, are the ones with the biggest stake in this thing. No question about it. We're the big boxes. We have to fill an additional 200 rooms over our competitors on a daily basis. So we are the ones that rely on that convention. So, I mean, I personally am in a convention hotel, so I need that volume. I do over 60,000 convention room nights a year. So even for me to lose 5,000 of those room nights is significant for me, especially in an economy like we're in right now.
So the process, as Danny described, the short term, if it was decided to continue with the CAB, Bureau in a manner, obviously the best, most effective manner, but that process is you all are competing. I mean, I see, so if a lead's generated, they can't withhold a lead from you guys, right? I mean, you're all competing.
It's our decision where we're getting those leads. We mentioned 42,000 leads generated, 7,500 nice consumed. It's our decision not to take certain pieces of business. That's our decision. Some of that business we might take in a year like this because we're desperate, quite frankly. We all have a threshold of pain from an average daily rate standpoint that we don't really want to drop below a rate of profitability. So we may, at 42,000 leads this year, take 10, 12,000 of those room nights as opposed to 7,500 as we did last year. It's an up and running machine. We're trying, CDB's a machine. It's a machine. We have to create a machine that generates room nights for our hotels. You do have the greatest hotels in the Cap County right here in Dunwoody. Congratulations. You truly do. It is the jewel. The only other area that compares is Decatur and Stone Mountain. Stone Mountain, for example, is the largest attraction in the state of Georgia. I know, hard for me to believe, too, but it is. Okay. And so we do rely upon that to be an attraction for the family reunion style of business and also some of the associations that come into the market. It works. It's not perfect by any stretch of the imagination, but that's the best use of our money right now. They're not going to agree to anything less than them getting their 2% of the 5. I can tell you right now from being part of their board for a number of years. Nor would I if I was in their position.
Sure, but so I guess my question is, if that's the case, then, but what I'm hearing is that you're going to get those leads. So if there's the set fee, that they're going to get that percentage, and that's what it is. There's not a lead that's not going to come across your desk.
That's correct.
All or nothing.
We're going to get it all. We're going to get every bit of it. Anything that, again, being these size hotels, a lot of times you'll exclude hotels because they're too small. They know they can't handle it,
right.
But that's not the case. These are the largest hotels in the market.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's 92 hotels in DeKalb County. These five hotels make up almost 20% of the revenue that's generated by those 92 hotels. So it's significant.
Okay.
We also use other sources. ACBD, for example, we subscribe, we pay money every year to them. If I could sign on with Gwinnett and some other counties, I'd probably do that too, just to get that lead generation.
Okay. And so when a lead comes in, and I'm sorry, and I'll stop on my end, but just to clarify, so when a lead comes in, you all of you get it, and then you're actually competing against each other.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
All right.
And everybody else that can handle that size, whatever the size of the lead is.
Okay.
We would probably prefer a C6 organization. I was
absolutely.
Principal,
yep.
But we've been working with you and working with you both for quite a while, talking actually what 6-7 months, and you're taking a lot more hands-on involvement in this whole process and listening to what we heard on meeting on Friday, which we and most of you all know met with Danny and some of the chamber people on Friday. You know, we're certainly open-minded, particularly in the long term, what we need to do. We're really focused on the short-term concern right now. And I'm, like I said a moment ago, I'm personally very concerned about accountability. I will say this. The numbers that we saw in the white paper were a little bit, most of the numbers are correct, but I should have caught this one thing this afternoon when I first saw this. We're actually trending down closer to 28%, not 17%. And the 720 is based, I think, on a real number. I'm thinking your risk is about 690 for low end. Last year, we collected 920, or sent that much to DeKalb County, for the 2%. And it has hit a high water mark of $1 million before in 2007. So, I mean, we're really down. And I think if you look at the markets in the city right now, further out from the center of the city, from the convention center, from the airport, you see there's really a bigger problem with demand right now. So, again, that just sort of emphasizes the concern for the short-term need we have.
The meeting on Thursday should be very beneficial. Thank you for signing up, Danny. We've certainly made it very clear in our conversations with John Manson that they need to do a great job being able to verbalize their benefits to these five hotels in this organization here.
Craig has tried single-handedly to really hold them accountable, and I mean it very sincerely.
And Robert Woolrich.
Robert Woolrich
is the past chair of that organization.
But it really started with you, and Robert's picked up the ball since then, too, and done a great job. And I think that organization probably was going to go or would go anyway through some transformation. I don't think their constituents, if you consider us their constituents, were completely happy to this point. But again, the short-term situation is so dire right now. That's really important.
When we break out as our own CDB in Dunwoody, which we will, of course, we need to have a good relationship with them as we do the ACDB. And those relationships can be established during this transitional period as well.
We also need to thank Councilman Ross and Wittenstein for your all's help on this. And again, we've had numerous meetings. We appreciate that.
Jenny, can you all say,
before you sit down,
yes.
You know, everything is focused on one avenue here, the BCBB, you know, this avenue of getting leads. What else is out there? I mean, is this the only avenue? Are there other avenues? Is this good for short term?
I'll turn next week in the crowd.
Everybody by the choir this week. By the way, you all know this is Dick Vitale, Dunwoody right here? Right here.
You know, in the short term, they're really not, there's no other game in town in the short term. Again, and to make this point very clear, long term, we're very intrigued about these other things we talked about. But if you look, for instance, at my hotel, you would say 2% of my tax goes into DeKalb County for marketing. I spend another 10% of my revenue. 2% of revenue goes to them. I spend about 10% on my own. We have great brands behind us, spend hundreds of millions of dollars in marketing. It's a very nuanced kind of a thing, too. And you have to know where you have to go for reach and frequency. And they do know how to do that.
To answer your question as well, we hope that somewhere along the way that a venue can be developed that's going to be both friendly to the city of Dunwoody as well as attracting regional visitors as well. My greatest example to you would be we have one of our hotels is on Gwinnett County, and we put that arena in Gwinnett County, which was built very much with the vet tax dollars out there. It was a win-win. Obviously, it's a great arena. The citizens of that area love it, and it's also a great generator for putting heads and beds on a very off-peak times for the hotels. So that's one example. I know there's been other ideas that have come up as well.
At the end of the day, what you're interested in is having an organization that operates efficiently and produces leads for you.
Absolutely.
About jobs. We like jobs, too.
My view, having studied this and talking to a lot of different people over the past 3 months, and I have done that, I've interviewed a lot of people, met with other people, studied on the internet, done everything I could get up to speed on this. I'm of the opinion that family reunions is not necessarily the sweet spot that we have to offer here in Dunwoody. There are a lot of other things we could market. We have a business community here that's second to none in the South. And to me, that's where we ought to be spending our time, focusing on everything from meetings to conventions to everything that can be done within the framework of resources that we have.
Yep.
And that's where we ought to be spending our time in the new CVB. And I've drawn that out in the white paper that I've presented here, but to me, that's where we ought to be generating most of our leads going forward as a Dunwoody CVB.
If you can do that, we will love you.
Absolutely.
You'll keep me from spending $1 million a year in my sales organization in one hotel to do just that.
I think that the market is ripe out there to do that based on the fact that we've got more Fortune 500 companies located in your neighborhood than any other place in the South.
And the PCID, their work, what you guys are doing, all this together.
You know, I like the reunion business. But at the end of the day, that's where we could really make hay, I think, by having a very efficient organization.
And when you can get those guys to meet on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, you let me know. Okay? Right. And I will send you a huge fruit basket.
I don't want it. If it's under $100, I'll take it.
Do you guys try and tap into the downtown convention?
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
We're members at ACB, we pay all our dues to everybody.
Every year, the big Hinman Dental Convention, especially this week,
Thursday,
Friday, and Saturday, every time I'm down there, people complain, I had such a hard time finding it.
Right.
You guys need to market to them.
We do, but really the demand has shrunk from downtown.
Buckhead sucks up most of that.
It's even shrinking out Buckhead, too.
Yeah, I mean, what happens is there's been so much development between downtown, Midtown, Buckhead. We're number four, okay? Perimeter, Buckhead, Midtown, Downtown. Okay? If Buckhead quits building all those hotels, we'll get more. But we get blocks off all those conventions, okay? But we used to get big blocks.
The Super Bowl in 2000 was like the high water mark.
Yeah, last year was especially bad because there was the basketball, something that was final for ACC, something, tournament. And it was really, just
last year. But we go for everything. Any opportunity we seek it.
This year, you could still have rooms at the Marriott Marquis headquarters hotel.
Just a quick point, Mega Mall in Minneapolis, I'm quite familiar with that. They have combined with Northwest Airlines, and you'll see people jumping on planes in Fargo, North Dakota, and places like that on Saturday morning, and Sunday afternoon, they go back. One night stays, maybe they come in Friday. you just won't believe the number of people who would come in for that. I'm just wondering if Danny just said, I mean, here we are right here with BCIV and everything. If you thought of marketing across with Delta and AirTrans and those folks down there and saying, hey, you want to help fill up your seats? Mr. and Mrs. Brown and wherever they are, Nashville, Birmingham, and a deal, and put them on MARTA, give them a package deal, pack them right up here. I mean, give them a marketing package.
Yeah, I mean, the good example would be the City Pass that Atlanta has. Which gives you, families discounted tickets to all the big attractions downtown. Those are all packages that we sell. The challenge is, once again, we're competing against Buckhead, Midtown, and Downtown, and they're all offering the same packages. And obviously, if they're closer to the venues than we are, they're going to get. The biggest draw we have right now, Perimeter Mall. That's the biggest draw we have.
I'm telling you, you got PC, yeah. You got all the restaurants around there. I mean, you got nightlife, you got shopping,
I think Buckhead has done a better job with marketing and shopping than we have. So that's a real opportunity.
We do really well around the holidays with the shopping packages because it's an excellent mall, and there's other things to do besides just shop. We package with golf courses. We package with everything. I package with the bowling alley, for God's sake.
We do. We try everything. We really do. And our brands do, too. There's a lot of that kind of co-branding going on with the airlines and so forth.
Okay, great. Thank you. Any other questions or other things?
Coming not tonight.
Right, thank you
very much. Thank you all again very much. We really appreciate everything.
Thank you.
Ken?
Yes, John?
I have a question on the white paper, Danny. Who was on the committee that helped write this? Is this your white paper? Or I see Robert's name on the back.
I have Robert's input, and he gave it to me tonight.
Yeah, right. I didn't read it until this afternoon. He sent it to me at 11:30 last night. I'd already gone to bed, so I didn't see it until this afternoon. I was asking who was on the committee for the white paper. And I see Robert's name on the back. I was wondering if he signed off on it.
I wrote the white paper. Obviously, Robert didn't sign off on it because he didn't get these people.
I didn't see it. Okay.
You're getting an haircut.
All right, any other questions for discussion right now? Okay. Well, we will get back on your meeting.